Welcome into the September 26th episode of the Lockdown Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morisuti. The Maple Leafs had a pair of preseason games this weekend. Yes, Dave, they finally hit the ice. We got to see them in action. One player in particular impressed me. Curious to see who impressed you. And one futures bet also at Bet Online that I think is worth a sprinkle on. We'll tell you all about that and more coming up on today's edition of Lockdown Leafs.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Leafs podcast, one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother on TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host Dave Morisuti from Sportsnet, also a writer for the NHLPA. Locked On Leafs is a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast, so be sure to subscribe for free. Wherever you get your podcasts from, you can also now catch us up on video format. Look us up on YouTube, Locked On Leafs. Hit subscribe, hit the little notification bell, because we got content coming to you guys the entire season, Monday through Friday, all hockey, all Leafs, all the time. So if you're a diehard Leaf fan, you'll definitely want to be joining us for the season, because I think it's going to be a good one, Dave. I really think it's going to be a pretty good season. We finally got to see what these guys and what this group could potentially look like. Obviously, they didn't all play together, but we got a good glimpse into the Maple Leafs and what this season could be. What would you say was something that stood out to you about, let's start with game one, actually. We'll start with game one. We'll break down game one. Then we'll move to game two. But game one was the victory. So game one was where everybody was a little happier in the afternoon game.
Oh, I mean, it was seeing, really for me, it was kind of seeing how when Nylander was playing, he looks like he's ready to go. Like, you know, some guys, they got to shake off some rust. Nylander was doing, like, pretty much treated this like a regular game for him. And then, of course, the stud, Dennis Malgin.
Yeah, the stud. The stud muffin, Dennis Malgin. I'll say this, though, like, Nylander, it's good to see that he is engaged early, because it's preseason. I mean, that guy looks unengaged in playoff games, as we all, you know, remember from these past playoffs. He got, you know, we talked a lot about it from that one dump in play. So to see him engage in the first preseason game of the year is a good sign. I mean, not that I was worried about Nylander, you know, coming into the season being sluggish or anything, but knowing that it's not taking a big game for him to get up and get ready to play, good sign. Forced a turnover that led to the goal that he and Dennis Malgin connected on. So, yeah, I would say William Nylander, certainly just his energy levels and being engaged was something that you could pull away from this game for sure. How about Alex Steeves getting himself a couple of goals? I didn't realize, too, that, like, he only played 9 minutes in that game and ended up with two goals. But the first one in particular, I thought was just him being rewarded for working hard in front of the net, right? Like, the puck's kind of going around the rink a little bit, and he's fighting with an Ottawa defender, eventually takes an angle and boxes him out and gets rewarded. The puck gets redirected off his stick and into the back of the net, and then ends up getting an empty net a little later. But I thought Alex Steeves also kind of stood out to me in the short time that he was out there on the ice.
Yeah, I think he could thank Mark Giordano for the second goal, because, you know, pass it off and he got the empty netter. But his first goal,
apples, by the way, by Gio, three apples, not too shabby for the 39-year-old.
Well, considering he's giving the Leafs a big favor with his contract, might as well help help set up his teammates for some little nice touch there. But yeah, I thought Giordano looked good. Justin Hall. It's funny because I was ready to criticize him at one point of the game,
because he cut his hair, that. Right?
Yeah, like,
see that,
because he was pinching so much, and I'm like, dude, really, we're gonna be going back to this again? And then, like, literally, I was about to send a tweet about that, and he scores, and I'm like, and delete. But I mean, yeah, Yeah, so like there you're seeing guy they're seeing some tendencies and you're just like let's not overdo it right now. Like yeah, but I thought in that game especially, like you're looking for other guys to kind of step up a little bit. I don't know if I really saw that when it comes to like the defensive pairings other than like the NHL guys.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking more specifically like the AHL guys, the guys who haven't really are like trying to get to the NHL right now. I don't know if I really saw anything from them that really stood out to me.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you there. It was kind of, you know, the NHLers who you expected that would come out and have a good game had a good game, and the others, you didn't really notice much. But I mean, it was a 4-1 hockey game, pretty uneventful, low event game. It's preseason. There's going to be some sloppiness. There's going to be a couple of nice plays that we did see. You look at the box score at the end of the night too. It's nice to see Zach Aston-Reese, who's in here on a PTO, tied for team high 4 hits. It's exactly what he needs to come in here and do, right? Be physical, be the physical player that they're touting him to be, that he, you know, that is what he can provide this team and this roster. So if he can go in there, create some chemistry with some guys in the bottom six getting a chance to roll with Kampf right now, I think that, you know, first game, pretty good for Zach Aston-Reese as well.
Yeah, he definitely noticed his presence. I thought Adam Gaudet, another guy, not on a PTO, but another guy kind of brought in. I thought he looked decent, especially considering he's in a, you know, higher up in the line. He's playing with John Tavares and Mitch Marner right now. So like you have to kind of make yourself known to the coaching staff when you get those opportunities.
So we haven't really talked about Gaudet as a legitimate option in that top six, but clearly getting an opportunity here, given the fact that he legitimately is right now practicing and played a game with those guys. And, you know, we heard Sheldon Keefe a week ago or right before the games come out and say, you know, they believe that he has a skill set and they want to give him a look and see what he looks like. They believe in his what he can do for this team, and he can translate into some top six potential. I question that, though. Like, of all the guys who I think were brought in and are going to be part of this battle in the top six, I think Gaudet's much lower on the totem pole at this point, despite getting the first crack or the first look on Tavares's wing.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to really want to give him the opportunity. Like Sheldon Keefe a few days ago said, like, they were looking for another one of those Michael Bunting guys, and they thought Adam Gaudet could be kind of that Michael Bunting guy. I just don't know if he has all the elements that they're looking for. Like the good thing is he's engaged along the boards and he's going in and he's trying to make those plays. I don't know if it's just going to necessarily translate completely to what the Leafs want to do with Tavares, because it's different playing with Tavares than it is with, you know, with Matthews. Like Tavares is a guy who likes to cycle the puck a lot more and do certain things. It's not like, you know, all right, Michael Bunting works really well with Matthew. Let's just clone another one. It just doesn't really work like that, because every player is kind of different. So I can get where you're at with that.
That was the name that Keith, you know, talked about.
Yeah.
When he said, yeah, you know, we saw what Bunce did last year and Adam maybe could come in and, you know, he's not going to be Michael Bunting, but he can do some of the similar things. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. But, you know, I thought that there was a guy in the second game in particular who I thought did more Michael Bunting-esque things and was on a line with Michael Bunting, who I felt stood out to me more than anybody else. It was in a losing effort, but I thought that he looked really, really good. And I'll tell you who that player is. But first, why don't we hear from one of our show sponsors, David? Athletic Greens is back.
Yep, Athletic Greens is back. It's something that I've started to take, you know, just we're trying to get, trying, you know, every day we're trying to figure ways to improve our health. You know, for me, I wanted to feel better during my day, want to make sure that I was getting everything my body needed, and I wanted to find something that had the all-in-one solution. I'm not one of those people that wants to take, you know, 5 different supplements because you forget to take one day and then you have to remember to take it the other day. This is why I like AG1 because it's really an all-in-one solution. With one delicious scoop, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All of those things. Mike and I got some samples. I liked it very much, so I actually bought myself a few more because I wanted to keep going with this. And I am noticing a difference in the everyday life. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or artificial flavors. Nothing like that. And it still tastes good. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, supports mental clarity and alertness. It's the one thing with the best of everything. Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's even cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in a true all-in-one nutritional insurance. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. That's David Morosutti. We're hosts here at Locked On Leafs. Just recapping the first couple preseason games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Game one, they did take the victory 4-1 over the Ottawa Senators. Game two of the split squad game didn't quite go their way, but I would say that the score is not really indicative of how the game, I guess, went. But the Leafs lost 4-2. However, the guy who scored both of those goals for the Toronto Maple Leafs, one Cali Yarncroke. That boy Cali, though, as my man Marshawn Lynch once said. A couple of goals, pretty much like the exact same goal, too, in the same spot. It was like low to high in the circle, one-timer, top shelf goal. Like, that was basically both goals was the exact same way. But if he's willing to shoot the puck, I mean, he's somebody who maybe could sniff around a top six role here. Maybe not with that, you know, that top line with Austin Matthews, Bunting. We assume Marner will get back on that line. But potentially, this is a guy who could factor into that second line if he continues to play this way.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think Austin Matthews is going to have a word with him about where he's shooting the puck from. He's like, dude, that's my spot.
My spot, man. Yeah.
The Big Bang Theory. That's my spot. I'm sure Cali will figure out a different spot. But I was very surprised that he was like that. It was the release of that shot, like just so smooth and just. I'm not gonna call it Austin Matthews like, but there was some Austin Matthews-ness to it, like just how quick and pretty much to the point. He didn't have a lot of time and he made the most of it. But I was impressed with that. And I was, you know, he's also a guy that has, you know, the good two-way ability. That's why they brought him in. He was meant for a defensive guy. But I'm wondering if this and I think it was Luke Fox that brought this up as like, you know, Cali Yarncroc is a guy that could move up in the lineup to play with.
For sure.
Top six. And I was like, didn't really think about that because like we're talking about a player who has a career high of 16 goals. And he's done that twice. He's like usually good for about 15 to 16 goals. That's good for your like third line. That doesn't scream top six to me. But then again, it's like he's playing for the Leafs. We've seen guys like David Kampf when he came here last year. People were like, "Oh, like that's a very underwhelming signing," and he turns out to be a heck of a signing. I think maybe that's what we're going to get from Cale Yonkrock, a guy that maybe some people didn't hold too highly in terms of his value, especially because he didn't play great with Calgary.
Yeah.
And now he's got a chance to kind of turn the page on that and say, well, Toronto's not Calgary.
No, and I mean, they invested in him, right? He was the only player to receive a multi-year deal this offseason as a free agent. Got 4 years, not two, yeah, not three, 4 years. And outside of Morgan Riley, he's the longest, you know, longest contracted player on the Maple Leafs. So they clearly hold him in high regard and think that he could be a good player for them. And we talked about this when the signing happened. It was almost as if like he's an Alex Kerfoot replacement in a way, because he's somebody who can play down the middle if need be, or he could play on either wing. He's got penalty killing ability, and you know, maybe he's not as offensively not that Kerfoot's gifted, but you know, Kerfoot at least, you know, had a 50 point season a year ago. Yarncroke has not had a 50 point season in his career. The close he came was what, 35 points back in 2017-18. A couple of years ago in 64 games, he had 34 points, which probably would be his best point per game output that he's had in his career. So that's a far cry from, you know, the 52 or 51, whatever it was that we saw Kerfoot have a year ago. That being said, to your point, if he's playing with better players and he's given more opportunity, look what we saw happen with Michael Bunting last year, mm-hmm, right? Michael Bunting was in the minors for all of the season before, for most of it, rather. He only had played, what, the last 21 games, I think it was, his final year in Arizona. Other than that, he was in Tucson in the AHL. Scored 11 goals in 20-something games and then ends up hitting the free agency. And he comes to Toronto, boom, this guy immediately becomes a top six, top line impact player for the Toronto Maple Leafs because he was given that opportunity because it's a role that suits him and fits him well. Perhaps they feel the same with Cale Yarncroke, and he can come in and he can help be kind of a two-way type of guy and, you know, a little bit more defensively, a little bit more meat. We'll see what he can end up doing. But I do think that he got off to a good starting camp, 2 goals, and looks willing to shoot the puck also. So I think Cale Yarncroke was one of the guys who impressed me the most this weekend and probably helped his stock. And when we're talking about the competition on the left side, I think Yarncroke definitely now has Sheldon Keefe thinking, this might be more of a legitimate option than we initially thought.
Well, see, this is the part that confused me because he is a right shot. He played on the right side. Does he stay there because that's where he's comfortable with, or is he a guy that can play on his off wing?
I believe he's played on his off wing before.
Well, I mean, he's played center. He's a centerman. So I would assume that he's okay playing on the left or right side. I know some wingers, especially offensively, they like to be on their natural side. We also know, like, let's say Marner goes back with Matthews, and let's say Yarncroke gets a try with Tavares.
Yeah.
Nylander has also played on his off wing as well. So I think that's something they could do.
There's also the other conversation of potentially splitting him up and doing a top nine so that Yarncroke could be second line on the right wing and Nylander third line, like we saw happen at times last year when Engvall, Kampf, and Nylander were a trio there at one point. And then Kerfoot, Tavares, and Mikheyev were up on that second line. So perhaps Yarncroke, they're thinking, could be that Mikheyev-esque, I guess, you know, player who could second, third line, and kind of, depending on how things are going, how you want to deploy the troops, he could play either position.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And I think maybe Sheldon Keefe will give that a try. I mean, this is why this week is very crucial in terms of, you saw what worked in this splits, doubleheader game. Now you're going to see with the next game, I think it's not until Wednesday against Montreal, you're probably going to see a totally different look in a lot of ways. and probably a totally different roster too, right? So I'm curious to see what changes come, and it will come probably as early as, you know, the next practice, right? They did get Sunday off.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be back on the ice the next day, and we'll see how it all kind of shapes up, because I do think they like the options and they like the versatility. Gaudette can play center. Yarncroke can play center. So they could probably move up and down wherever they need to in the lineup. So that's going to be a very crucial element, I think, going into this season, especially if injuries happen. You can at least feel – I'm bringing it up again. I keep bringing it up. But at least I feel more comfortable knowing that the guys can move around and play different roles.
Yeah.
Yarncroke wasn't seen as an offensive guy. Scoring two – like, look, obviously, yeah, this is two goals in a preseason game. You're not going to – I'm not going to say now he's a bona fide goal scorer.
No.
But you know that he has the capability in him, and let's see if maybe they try to see if that's something that can continue.
Yeah, so I'll be excited to see what the lines look like when they go out for practice today, and if Yarncroke potentially maybe they try and line him up with Tavares, see what that looks like. Because now here in camp, like, this is the time to try everything, right? That's why you have these games and these preseason they're games that don't matter, but come October 12th. Those games matter. And, you know, by then you're hoping that you find out what works best. And, well, you can only find out if you try it. So hopefully, or potentially, we'll get a look at, you know, Yarncroke getting an opportunity with those guys at some point here over the next couple week in camp. Anything else that stuck out to you in the game two, 4-2 loss to the Ottawa Senators, where we should note that, you know, it was an empty netter, and then the three other goals were scored on Petrozilli in a comeback effort in the third period, which meant Ilya Samsonov went 15 for 15 in shots that he faced. A good start for the former first round pick.
Yeah, and I liked Eric Schallgren looked really good too in the other game. I should mention that. What concerned me, like, the thing was, the first goal was off the rush. Just bad coverage defensively that left, you know, I think it was the Norris that got that first goal for the Sens. I'm iffy on the order again. But like
the Stutzla goal? Did he score first?
Stutzla was in the first game. This one in the second game, it was the first goal. I remember it was like off of like a rush, and it was like a tic-tac-toe sort of play. Just bad coverage. The other two goals, what concerned me is those were like 50-50 battles that they lost.
Yeah.
Like, really lost, and then the Sens player jumped on it and was able to get through, like, get to it and score. And there was that one, and then there was also one where a guy was kind of left open on the left. I think the Leafs need to do if I'm doing a drill this week, it's working on those 50-50 battles. They've lost a lot of it can make or break, especially in a playoff series where you got to start winning these puck battles, and you got to win these battles in front of the net, because there's goaltenders are just like, what am I supposed to do? My guy is just not winning these battles, and rebounds are, yeah, you not every rebound is going to go in, but it's tough when it's, you know, your guy is just constantly losing those battles in front of the net. So that's something I think the Leafs really do need to work on there. And you know what? Jordy Benn and Victor Mete, I didn't have high expectations for them, but I'm okay with them as depth options. And Sheldon seems to really like them.
Well, he might have to, like, with the injuries to Liljegren, still, you know, unknown what the outcome's going to end up being with Muzzin. One of these two are going to end up being in this opening night roster, potentially. So, and especially if Rasmus Sandin does not report to camp. And look, my projection, or my projection prediction, you can use whatever word. I kind of put them together for a sec there. But like, my prediction was he'll be back in camp by Tuesday. Well, today's Monday morning, still not there. That makes me a little weary that he's going the dig in the heels route, as opposed to the there's an opportunity for me to grab something route, which I don't like very much. But yeah, you know, overall, I thought that, you know, the Leafs looked okay. You know, there was a win, there was a loss. couple of players stood out to me, and it's preseason hockey. There's not really all that much to break down at the end of the day. Now, a lot of these lines are just chucked out there. It's kind of a blender of sorts. So you could take a couple of things away from these games, but it's not something that you're going to absolutely take to the grave with you. But next up, they will play the Montreal Canadiens. That'll be Wednesday, September 28th. And considering it's not a split squad game, we'll probably see something more like, some more regulars, I would say, in the lineup potentially, or some more regular lines. I'm hoping that, at some point today when they go out there for their skate for practice, we'll get to see what the lineups will look like. And then we'll be able to talk about it a little bit tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break here and we get back really quickly. I was taking a look at, I'm starting to make my bets for the season, some futures. I'm taking a look at the futures board, and there was one in particular at betonline.net that kind of stuck out to me. And I just want to relay some of the reasons why and then get your thoughts on it, Dave. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. We'll be right back here on the Locked On Leafs podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Leafs podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano with Dave Morosuti. BetOnline is a tremendous sponsor of this show, but it's also just a great sports book for you to go ahead and make a little bit of cash, some money, if you're making some good bets. And one that I like, Dave, and one that I want to have a discussion with you about, and it pertains to the Leafs in a way. I was looking at like the team totals, and Toronto's team total is 107.5, which is really high. But that is their team total. Florida's is 105.5. I know Florida's coming off of a terrific season, and they're a team that just won the President's Trophy. But I like the under. I like the under 105.5. I think the Florida Panthers got worse this summer. They made a couple of trades. They sent out two big pieces of that team in Mackenzie Weegar and Huberto to acquire Matt Tkachuk. And I think that they're just really thin. The depth isn't quite there. And they're going to be super reliant on a healthy Aaron Ekblad, because if Ekblad gets injured, do you know what that blue line looks like, my guy?
Not very good.
It is not good at all. Because if Aaron Ekblad goes out, that's going to be really a rough blue line. Like right now, it stands as Gustav Forsling and Aaron Ekblad. That's their top pair. It's a Lucas Carlson and Radko Gudas, and then Mark Stahl, who's in there right now on a contract, along with Brandon Montour as their third pair. Not overly inspiring for a team who you would think, coming off a season where they won a President's Trophy, says to themselves, we're ready to take the next step and win a Stanley Cup. That is not a Stanley Cup worthy blue line. It's worrisome considering their goaltender is very, like Bobrovsky. Who knows what you're going to get from that guy in any given season? He's usually good one year, bad one year. He wasn't bad last year. So now in front of that poor blue line, I'm curious to see what they're going to be all about this year. But I don't think, like, they'll be competitive and they'll probably make the playoffs, either as a wild card team or third in the Atlantic. But 105 points seems a bit high for me. I like the under as the bet.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer of the Panthers either, unless their goaltending is like super, like can cover up how putrid that defense is going could potentially be, or they're going to be scoring a lot of goals and not playing a lot of defense. They did score. They were a team that scored a lot last year. They also lost. Huberto was a big part of that. He made other player. Yes, I know you got Tkachuk.
115 points. Huberto did.
Like, he was a distributor. He was a guy that got other players, on the board. So I don't know. It was just a very weird offseason for the Panthers, where like, I get you get a chance to go and get Matthew Tkachuk, who's younger and a little bit more marketable, I guess, for the Panthers. But what it cost them, I was still bullish on that deal. So they're a team that I believe should be taking a step back. Especially, I mean, even with those totals, I just can't see it.
Yeah. So Huberto scored 115 points. He got dealt. He's out of the building. They also ended up losing Mason Marchment, who had almost a point per game, 47 points in 54 games. He walked out the building for nothing. And then Mackenzie Weegar, who was their second best defenseman after Aaron Ekblad, also, you know, shipped out in the Huberto deal. And in, you know, they were able to bring back Matt Tkachuk. But Matt Tkachuk, to me, doesn't equal those three players. And you know, we talked about the defense, but even offensively, like, it doesn't look great. Like, their top six right now, according to Daily Faceoff, Rudolph's Balcers, Alex Barkov, and Carter Verhaeghe, and then Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, and Colin White. That is their projected. Now, Sam Reinhart they have on the third line, I guess, so you could probably put Reinhart up there. But it is not a very strong depth here at all. Like, after Barkov, Tkachuk, you know, Verhaeghe's a decent player, but not a top-line guy. What are you going to get from Sam Reinhart? He's kind of in the same boat. I don't know, man. I don't see this team blowing the doors off teams like they did a year ago offensively, and it's very suspect defensively, and the goaltending's just an absolute crapshoot each and every year when you've got Bobrovsky between the pipes. So not a team that I'm betting on succeeding a whole lot. So under 105.5, I think, is a worthwhile bet.
Yeah, people, there's other bets that you can make that are going to be a lot more profitable than betting on the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I would also stay away from Toronto's 107.5. Like, I just wouldn't bet it because that's a really good number. They passed it last year. They could very well go over the total and go over that number because I think that they're, you know, arguably the same, if not maybe a little better. And you think about a team like Florida falling behind a little bit, some points to pick up. But then they also have some other teams in the division who, you know, got a little better. The Ottawas, the Buffaloes, the Detroits of the world. So it's probably a number that I wouldn't be touching at 107.5. But we'll have to do like a couple episodes between now and the start of the season to try and, I don't know, educate some of the viewers, give us some of our opinions and our thoughts on maybe what is worthwhile in the betting market leading up to the season. You could get some futures. So it gives you something to kind of track along the way as the season progresses. But that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You'd subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcast platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow Dave at @D_Morisuti. Also follow the show at Locked On Leafs. And the Discord is popping off as of late. So definitely remember to go onto the Discord. We'll have it in the show notes down below. And then also you can just find it, go to Discord. These what Locked On Leafs is what the Discord channel is called. So you can kind of get in there. We got about 100 or so people. Just go back and forth. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Join the community. It's a good time. All right. So we'll be back with another episode tomorrow. But until then, folks, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.